I think it had listed in the program, myself, I'm Ken Akers, and Sam McVeigh, who also works with North American Ministries, would be speaking. Also, we've got Chris Todd, who, if you were here Sunday, spoke Sunday morning, did a great job. He is a promotional secretary, executive secretary. He's the head hog of the trough in South Carolina and works with their disaster response. And then Alan Alston, who pastors in Florida and has a lot of experience handling hurricanes and other things, but Alan has helped us all over. So we developed this, did this back at the leadership conference back in December of last year, and Brother Moody asked us if we could do it again here. So we appreciate you being here. Over on this table over here, we've got some different information that you're welcome to pick up afterwards. Some of the things that we do and we'll cover are hygiene kits. When you go into a natural disaster area and people have, their house has been flooded or been blown away or whatever, little things they can use like soap and shampoo and different things like that. So we've got a list of that. We have this at our booth also. And then we also make 5-gallon cleaning buckets, and we've got a list of what goes in that if you're interested. This is a great project for women's groups or youth groups or just churches in general. Last year in December, first Sunday in December, I got invited to come and speak at a church up in Eastern Kentucky, well, Lexington, Kentucky area. And the ladies there, I know people there, and the lady headed up their ladies group made 100 hygiene kits for us. 2 weeks later, I took every one of those hygiene kits back to Kentucky, because that's when the tornado hit Mayfield and Bowling Green and all that. So we sent them right back up there. Since then, we've had several other groups come, and we've probably got 40 or 50 kits made up right now at our office and available. Also, I'll cover this in just a little bit. How can your church help in a time of disaster? We'll cover that. There's a volunteer form. We've got some Master's Men lanyard or ribbons if you'd like to have one. We had these made up for our team, just identification when you go into a natural disaster. Here's something a lot of people don't understand. You can't normally just run in there and start doing stuff. You got to let insurance companies come in. You've got to let FEMA come in. You've got search and rescue. You've got a lot of people that are in there, and a lot of places that are really hit won't even let you in there until, you know, other stuff has been done. And so we don't always just rush right in. What was the one that hit you? Michael? When Michael hit the Gulf Coast a few years ago, we were able, because Alan's church was right in the middle of it, in the panhandle there. Myself and another guy got in our truck, and within 24 hours, we were there on site. And it worked out great that time because we had him there, and we knew he'd be working, so we wanted to come in and help him get things at his house and his church set up. And we were able to clean up around the church. They became a huge distribution for food and clothing and water and all this stuff like that. So when you help. So we've got a few things we're going to go over and just talk about it. These are some pictures of things, a little background on our disaster response. Back in 2004, in the fall of 2004, there were several hurricanes hit the East Coast, North Carolina specifically area. And after they did, I had a pastor from there call me from one of our churches and said, we got hit bad. Another one of our churches got hit. Do we have anybody that can come and help? And I had to say, we don't. And it made me feel bad because we had nothing in place. So I'm always cautious to say, Lord laid on my heart, because I think God gets blamed for a lot of stuff he had nothing to do with. But I felt like we needed to do something as the National Men's Ministry. So Master's Men, we put in place to start getting some equipment. And long story short, I believe God gave us a work truck that we could purchase, a big Ford with a Super Duty with a work bed on the back of it. And at our convention in Louisville in 2005, in July 2005, we had our truck there. We had people bringing tools, so we had it all equipped up. And if you remember a little thing that happened in August of 2005 called Hurricane Katrina, that was their first experience. We went to Gulfport, Mississippi. Gulf Coast Free Will Baptist Church is where we went. This is a picture of the back of the church. The back of the roof was blown off. These were Sunday school rooms underneath there. The entire 10 miles in was just wiped out in this area. And so we were able to come in. We organized. We had over 50 people show up that very first day that we started down there. And we had somebody on the ground there for 2 weeks. The last day was a Friday that we were working. We had the roof put back on it. We were had the shingles up. We were putting the ridge cap on the very top. As I was finishing up putting that ridge cap on there, it started to rain. Another hurricane was coming through. So we finished up, jumped in the truck, and headed back north. And we had that truck for a couple of years, but we figured out from this trip that that truck really wasn't what we needed because we got 5 miles a gallon going down there and back. So we were able to sell it, and we'll share some other things that we've got now. But this was from, and that's how it all started. This was from Gulfport, Mississippi. I remember exactly where this was, but this was one of our churches. You can see how the roof was blown off, trees down. I think this was in Oklahoma City or Moore, Oklahoma, after the tornado hit out there. This is up in eastern Kentucky. We had a good crowd, a very unusual thing. A tornado hit eastern Kentucky where the mountains are. I'm born and raised up here. And in my 21 plus years, we got lots of flooding, but never had a tornado, but it really messed up there. These are some volunteers that we had working. This guy right here, Tim Hayes from Illinois. Tim was a farmer, but he worked so much with the Illinois Masters Men Disaster Response. And Tim passed away from a massive heart attack a few years ago. And I told his wife, Kathy, who was right there, I said, people that have never met Tim Hayes will suffer because of his death. He was one of the greatest workers. I mean, he was just a super, super guy. This was just recently in Nashville area. A couple of years ago, we got hit with a tornado there. This is in the Donaldson area. This you see is a truck and trailer from Illinois, from their Masters Men that got developed up there. This is one of our trucks that we have. We've got a couple of trucks we'll talk about a little bit later. This was just recently. That's down in Florida. Sam and Alan were both there. I think, Chris, did y'all go down there at some point working with them? I was on vacation in Utah and couldn't make it back for me. But they came. This is actually Sam's brother's skid steer, and we'll talk a little bit about that. This was after the tornado that hit the Nashville and the Tennessee area. This is up in Cookeville, Tennessee, and this is the South Carolina mobile command station that they have set up. This is a group out of South Georgia that has gone over to Louisiana and worked with us over there several times, and they don't bring a lot of work crews in, but they get supplies. They'll come in with truck and trailer loaded with food and cleaning supplies and everything. And this gentleman right here, Winston Everett, was from North Carolina, part of a North Carolina group up there, and that's where I met him years ago. And he lives in Georgia now, and had a big truck and trailer and all that he did. He's had some health issues, not able to do the work, but his church supplies just so much stuff over there. And the gentleman beside you see right there is from their church also. And they hauled this over to Lake Charles after an unusual thing hit there. They had a hurricane come through and just about wiped them out, and then 2 weeks later a massive snowstorm came through that they weren't expecting. So after they took stuff, Brother Sam and I loaded my car up, and I had a basket to put on a trailer hitch in the back. It was piled full of toilet paper and paper towels. We're driving down the road with toilet paper and paper towels in the back of our car, took it down there, unloaded it, went, found a Sam's that was open and supplied, and went and bought another load of supplies for that. This was at Allen's church after Michael hit, and you see the different groups that came in. And I tell people, we are a little fish in a big pond when it comes to disaster response. We go in, we do what we can, as much as we can with what we've got to work with, but we work with other larger groups too. We worked on a couple of occasions with Samaritan's Purse, who, you know, I'm sure about all of you are familiar with Samaritan's Purse, the Billy Graham, Franklin Graham group. We worked with Southern Baptist when we were in South Carolina, when they got flooded several years ago. We worked with a Southern Baptist up there, tried to straighten them out. We couldn't do much with them, but we did the best we could. But they were a good group. They do a lot of good work. So there's a lot of different people. When the tornado hit Moore, Oklahoma several years ago, and you remember that made national news, knocked down a wall at a school and killed several children. We were working there, and we connected with a group called City Impact, and we worked with them on several occasions. This is actually in St. Croix, U.S. Virgin Islands, and mentioning City Impact, they are a big organization that are worldwide, and they will load up semi-trailers and ship them into different places. And we connected with them to get this to St. Croix after one of the hurricanes hit down there. So we shipped in food and supplies and generators and mattresses. And they said it was a real blessing to be able to get all that stuff down there for them. One of the generators, a funny story, went down there right after a hurricane had hit. And they were needing generators because the whole island was without power. So Home Depot, I think it was, had some, and we didn't think we could get any, but we did. But we went out to eat at a Chinese restaurant, and they had a generator for sale. So I bought a generator at a Chinese restaurant. So anyway, and Kevin Flanagan sent up here. Kevin, pastors, where you at now? In Kentucky, that's what I thought, has worked with us on several occasions. When we were in Louisiana several years ago, they got flooded. Kevin has been a real plus. I want to make sure I mention him there. This is in Puerto Rico after one of the hurricanes went through there. And so many hurricanes, I lose sight of or the name, forgetting the names that they had. Some more from Puerto Rico. This, back in 2010, I worked with a small mission in Haiti, and in 2010, we had a earthquake hit. I think it was a 7.4 earthquake hit Haiti, and because so many people knew that I had a connection there, we started getting calls and saying, how can we help Haiti? So we were able to raise some money. This is a group of ladies, some of them from Tennessee, some of them are from Oklahoma. They're nurses, and we got them down there within a few weeks and set up. They were seeing over 100 people a day in a church, doing the best they can, and there's stories I could tell you about that we won't take the time to do right now. Here's some of the supplies. I went a few days before they came in and went into Port-au-Prince and had money that I had to get changed into the Haitian currency, and the banks were all messed up and all like that. So I go down a dark alley behind gates and stuff and meet some guy to change money with them. And I made it out alive, so hallelujah for that. Also, Brother John Falk. John has helped us on different things back here. John was on our board when Master's Men was an independent department. One of the things we built after the earthquake in Haiti was we built some shade houses. People didn't have any food. So we put together two big shade houses. I have a couple of guys that work with our mission that have degrees in agriculture. They're something big. I don't know what you call them. But anyway, they knew how to grow plants. So we built these two shade houses, shipped them in there and built them. And we started raising food plants, and we would raise them up to about like this, then we give them to the people, and they'd grow their own vegetables, own food after that. Now we're going to turn it over to somebody on what we've done.
Ken's talked quite a bit about what I'm going to talk about, but some of the things that we have done, that we have done is like the hurricanes and stuff, and we'll talk about this one. This was a hurricane in Florence in eastern North Carolina. Some of y'all were connected with that, Jimmy back there and Jeff. Matter of fact, it's Jeff's daughter in this picture. And if you know Brother Dennis Wiggs, the house run over the trailer there is his house. We were able to help him some with that. But it's like he said, it's people coming together and doing this. Me and my son and a guy from Eufaula, Alabama went up there and did that. This was another picture of their Wiggs' yard, and then the foyer there in the Stacy Church. I kind of got into this, was talking about this back in 2004 when Hurricane Isabel hit Davis and Stacy and whatever. We did a little bit of work at Davis, but our church, I was pastoring in New Bern at the time, and we went to Stacy and replaced the floor in the sanctuary. And then I went back at Florence, and it was one of those deals where they called and said, hey, we need you to go to Stacy. There'll be some guys meet you down there to work. And I worked all morning and tore the floor out and by myself. And that's where it gets tough, because the plan was to put that floor back. And I'll tell you why we didn't put that floor back. And this was, I think this was a Davis church. The reason we didn't put this floor back is because Hurricane Michael, I was at Stacy tearing a floor out on Monday. I got a phone call and says, you need to head toward Florida. I left Florida Monday afternoon, spent the night, Monday night in South Carolina, drove in Tuesday, got to my house at 4 o'clock, and at 9 o'clock Wednesday morning, Hurricane Michael hit us. So I didn't get to finish what I was doing. Hurricane Michael was the third worst hurricane to hit the United States. Anybody know what the first two were? Hazel and Camille. Hazel and Camille. Hazel hit Florida, so it's the second worst to hit Florida. Hurricane Michael literally took out from Mexico Beach to Panama City Beach. It didn't take out the beach, but it took out Panama City. And Tyndall Air Force Base was completely wiped out. It has just really got back up and going. This October will be 4 years ago. We still have tarps on houses in our county, in our area. But I'll say this, Ken and Danny Kahn came in the very next night, drove in the ditch more than they did on the highway because the roads were literally covered in trees. I live in Calhoun County, which is a small county. Our population's about 15,000. We lost 20-something million loads of timber. You say, well, why didn't they come in and cut it? Because it was already cut. It was cut about 10 or 12 feet high. This was one of the houses of our church members. You say, what house? Yeah, that's it, because it took out the end of it. This was our church sign. I had one of my trustees that had come to our house because during the storm, he called me. He says, we need to go rescue somebody because I'm a first responder and fireman. And I said, are you going out in this? And he said, yes, I am. Come to find out, he didn't go a few years earlier and some people died. And he said, I feel like I need to go. So I went with him. My wife called me 3-4 times while we were gone because we were having to cut ourselves back to the house. But he was staying at our house, and I'll never forget, he said, preacher, what kind of sign you want? Because ours has just left. So we got a new sign. It's a beautiful sign. But I don't know if you can see this or not. When the electricity came back on, there are 7 light bulbs. You know what the number 7 is? There's 7 light bulbs that came on in our sign. This was some trees that was cut. Matter of fact, this is a group from Welch that came down and helped us. And a lot of folks came. Kevin came, and those trailers you saw, another picture of that. The far trailer, the black trailer is South Carolina, and then our Florida trailer. Kevin stopped in Mississippi and got their trailer. And this skid steer belongs to our missionary in Japan, Nathan Snow. And I went to Macon, Georgia, and picked it up and was able to do that. Chris brought a crew down from South Carolina and did something that was absolutely incredible. They're still on the end of our church. We had hot showers. When you're without power for 2 weeks, and some of our folks in the area were without power for about 4 to 5 weeks, a hot shower means a lot. And so they came in and built those, and I think a church or something gave the money to do that. And we are forever grateful for it. They're still there. We set up a distribution center. I have a lady that, from this, she told me, she said, "Preacher, if you ever need someone to go and set up a distribution center, I can take off work and go do it." So what I'm saying is this to you. This is what we do. And if you're ever in a situation where your church is able to do that, and our church was, we have four churches in Clarksville, and our church was the only one that received minimal damage. So we were able to do it. Church down below us opened a distribution center. 2 days later, the insurance company come in and shut them down because the building was not worthy of being in. And so we set this up. I wish I'd have kept up with how much stuff that we went through. We had two semi-trailers that backed up to our church and unloaded. I went to Panama City to the airport, and a plane flew in from South Carolina from a Southern Baptist group and unloaded in our church van. We had trailers, our teens, for 3 weeks, every single day, 7 days a week, unloaded trucks and trailers. And God blessed us. We had our foyer was full, our fellowship hall was full. This is actually our youth room, old sanctuary, and that's where we set up everything, and folks came in, and we did this for 2 months. I don't know how much stuff we went through. My wife took gas burners and grills and cooked and fed over 200 people a day with no power, and people lined up and came through that. This was in 2020 when Sally hit Pensacola. Sam came down and helped us, his brother, with his skid steer. And that was some of the guys that was helping there. This is, I tell you, his brother Mike is amazing on a skid steer. This church, this tree is behind Beulah Church, and I have a picture on my phone of a chainsaw bar. If you want to see what Sam can do to a chainsaw, but it's kind of like this. But you know, that's one of the things that we do. This is when the South Carolina group came in and we cut trees. We've got the equipment now, and we'll see that in just a little bit. But with those, with the right equipment, in 7 days, I think it was, that we worked and South Carolina worked, we did 15 yards. And that's a lot when you start looking at trees everywhere. Otherwise, we would have been able to do probably 5 or 6. And some of them we would not have been able to do. Flooding. This was in Waverly, Tennessee, just last year, just a little less than a year ago. We were able to take supplies up there, and we went up, and some of you guys came down and helped. I had one guy, I think, come up with me from Florida. And this is, you can see where the water line is, right below that blower there. That is a creek behind the church that absolutely was full of debris. This is getting it fixed back, getting the insulation in there. That's one of the things we was able to do. A group from South Carolina came up and actually put flooring in the parsonage. And so with that, what we do is hurricanes, tornadoes, flooding. You know, we've talked about the tornadoes. We've worked in Albany, Georgia. We worked in Eufaula, Alabama. We went to, I worked in Cookeville, Tennessee, while some others were working in Nashville. And, you know, there's just a lot of things that we've been doing to help out with that. But the thing is, what do? When we go into a place like this, we do chainsaw work, any kind of trees that are down, any kind of debris that we can get with a chainsaw. I learned in Pensacola that you don't just say, "Hey, we're going to this yard and we're going to cut trees." You remember that first one we went to? If some of you, y'all may know Gene Wooten that's in Virgin Islands in St. Croix. It was to his parents' house, and when we got there, it was like everybody came out with a chainsaw. And I didn't realize it till stuff was flying everywhere. And finally, we just said, "Hold it, guys. you know, and I said, Sam, you and Richard, you're on chainsaws. This is it. Rest of you pull stuff. So it's dangerous work. Chris has got a great program where he trains for chainsaw work and different things that we do. One is mud out. That's when a flood comes in and there's just mud, whatever, in the houses. Ken came down and Kevin, you came down to Denham Springs. And we gutted out houses, cleaned those houses out, put it out on the side, debris cleanup. Now with the skid steer, we're able to do that a lot better than we were before. But you don't want to go in the house that's got a freezer full of deer meat that's been there for 2 weeks because it's not pretty. But, you know, we're able to do a lot of that stuff. One of the things that is, and let me say this, when we did this in December at Leadership Conference, we had three or four people from Pennsylvania, and they asked about snow and ice storms. It's something we haven't done, but it's something I think we probably could get equipped to do. Those would be a lot harder to get into immediately than some of these others. But like you said, you know, we have to go through a lot of stuff to get in sometimes and getting organized and with that. But one of the things I think is important is when something happens, for us to be able to come in and assess. I'm going to give a shout out to Blake Nance in Pensacola. When we showed up, he had a list. He had names and addresses and almost prioritized from worst to least. And we were able just to go and do it. Now, one of the things with the assessment forms, the waiver forms, I have a form that I have every homeowner fill out. It does a couple of things. One, it gets permission to work on their property. Two, it's a no-fault thing. It says, whatever happens, you can't sue us, we can't sue you. But it also describes what we're doing. And we worked at one house, cleaning up for some ladies, got their trees done, and a neighbor walks over and says, hey, I got this tree on a car. Can you get it off for me? And we're like, have you talked to your insurance company, you know, get all this kind of stuff? And he said, all that's taken care of. Don't worry about it. Come do this. Well, I definitely got that one filled out because I had no idea. Plus, it's on a car. It's not just laying on the ground. It's not, you know, on a whatever. So we make sure and get those done. It's sort of a legal thing, but also permission, as well as it's a good way to keep record of what we're doing. And so when we go into places like that, it's just a lot easier for us to be able to do that. Now, one of the things, I'm getting ahead of myself. But assessment is huge, and that is knowing what we can do and where we can do it. And having a pastor or a contact person in that area is key. And it's one of the things that we try to do and setting up. If there's a church that's available, we went to Waverly, the Hurricane Church, whatever, what is it, Hurricane Chapel was a great place for us to set up. Beulah was a good place for us to set up there. You know, our church was because we had minimal damage. And for you to be involved in that is having a contact person in your area, whether it's a pastor or whatever, because when something happens, like where we are, we're a very hurricane-prone area. Eastern North Carolina is very hurricane-prone. You know, North Alabama, Tennessee is very tornado-prone. Having somebody in that area that we can contact that we know can get things done for us. And pastors or contact person is key in getting jobs. We were able to do all of those jobs in Pensacola because Blake had it set up. We didn't have to go and find work to do. It was already there for us. So what happens with that a lot of times is, you know, we go in and we don't know what we're doing or how we're going to do or whatever. So it boils down to doing that and having a place that's the command post for us to do. Ken and Chris have got those trailers that we can set up to be able to do that, as well as sleep in. One of the things that I have talked to some guys about, especially in those hurricane tornado prone areas, flood prone areas, have an RV hookup at your church where we can pull those in, hook them up, and then what you can do is what Ken was saying, get involved in getting these hygiene kits, have people available in your church and churches in your area who will come out and help. When we went to Pensacola, and this is probably one of the greatest trips we had as far as help, we had guys from the Beulah Church that came and worked. And so they were our headquarters, but they also helped us out a lot. Now, like I said, I've been in places where I did it by myself. When I got to Cookeville, I was there by myself for a day and a half. I worked with Samaritan's Purse till I got somebody else there. And then we had some, I think Kevin came down and some other folks came in, and we worked with some other churches as well. But just getting involved and helping us in the things that we've done, and just being a part of it. And we appreciate you being here today and your interest in that.
I will just mention briefly, he didn't talk about safety too much, but one of the things we do is we try to be very, very careful. And we've actually tried to do some training stuff, but trying to get people involved and finding the right time and that kind of thing. But if you're interested in getting training, like mentioned, Chris has a good training program with chainsaws. Alan mentioned in Pensacola, we were trying to do some painting up there, and all of a sudden a limb went within about 2 inches of a guy's head, and that's when we said, time out, we got too many chainsaws going on here. And so I was talking to a pastor just before I came in here, and he was telling me about in North Carolina that he was going to, the last hurricane that came through there, he was going to help one of his church members, and he reached to move a piece of insulation, and the electricity knocked him back. And so there's a lot of things when you go in. It's not like going out into an area and deciding to cut down trees. When these trees are twisted and are falling, you know, they're under all kinds of pressure, and that chainsaw blade that that Alan talked about was in a huge tree behind the Beulah Church, and it twisted that chainsaw up really, really well. But anyway, we do try to be careful about safety and those kinds of things and train people. But I want to talk to you about some of the equipment that we have. Thank the Lord that folks like you, churches, have given. We've gotten a little bit of help from the foundation and those kinds of things, and we've been able to add some good equipment to our arsenal. And so we've had the Dodge pickup down here for a few years, but just in the last year or so, we've been able to get us a 2006 Ford F-350 dually, four-wheel drive, and that thing is a hoss, and I think we've about got it ready where it will do what we need it to do. But part of the reason we got that F-350, I'll show you in a minute, we got a skid steer. We have some trailers. We've actually sent some of these trailers out to some of the different states, but these trailers are all filled with all kinds of equipment. We have generators. We have all the equipment you need when you're going in there doing the mud out, trying to tear down things. We tell people we are equipped to tear up, not build up. So our deal is going in there and getting it out. Although in Waverly, we were able to go back in and help them do some things, some little things to try to help them go. But we're thankful that we have some good equipment to do these things with, big fans to go in and try to dry out when there's been flooding and those kinds of things, generators to provide electricity. We oftentimes send generators out to different homes, especially places where people are on CPAP machines or on some kind of life-saving stuff. They don't have power. I mean, it's a matter of life and death. And so we try to find out where we need those things, get generators to them, and the fuel to run those and that kind of stuff. And so we're thankful that we have those kinds of equipment. Our latest purchase, after being in Pensacola and my brother bringing his skid steer down and us seeing that a gallon of skid steer can do the work of about 15 or 20 men, And the foundation helped us a little bit. And so we now have, we actually have the, basically the same skid steer as my brother has. Ours operates a little bit different, but we have a T300 skid steer. And we bought a trailer. I actually bought my brother's trailer from him. He offered us a good deal, about less than half price of what this thing's worth. But we got a 26,000 pound, 26 foot dovetail trailer, dual rear axles, and gooseneck. And so we can haul our skid steer around on that. And I would tell you all about how much trouble it took us to get that thing from up. but I'll save that for another day. But we're looking forward, actually, in about 2 weeks. We found out just recently, this is one thing I will tell you. Anytime we hear about a flood or tornado or hurricane or whatever, we try to contact people we know in those areas, especially pastors, say, hey, do you know anything, you know, do you have needs, anybody affected, those kinds of things. And we use that to help us determine where we go, what we do. And we just found out, just within the last couple of weeks, that Cheatham County, right outside of Nashville, was one of the hardest hit areas in December with the tornadoes. And we were sending people to Kentucky and over into eastern or western Tennessee and those kinds of things. So Ken and I are going to meet with those guys in a couple of weeks and going to go try to do some cleanup work that's been there since December that they haven't been able to get anything done. We'll take our skid steer and do that. But this gives you a little bit of an idea of what we have, what we're doing. So I'm going to give let Chris come up and take the last 10 minutes and share with you how you can be involved.
By way of introduction, I'm going to talk with you a little bit about what we need. Brother Allen mentioned the shower system that we were able to build down in Pensacola. Clarksville, excuse me, during Hurricane Michael. We're hopefully going to be able to put us together a shower trailer. Some of the things when you're out of power and you don't have access to hot water, running water, is the need for a shower and the need to wash clothes. And so we're looking to be able to put together something like that people can come and get hot showers and wash a load of laundry. Those are some things that we're looking at. But I'll tell you this, one of the things that we need probably more than anything is for our churches to recognize the value of a ministry like this. And so I want you to think about your own church and the way your ministry's set up, okay? So we come in on a Sunday morning, and our services, we sit like we're doing right now. We listen, we sing, we fellowship, we talk, and all those are great biblical things, but those are things that tend to typically appeal towards the feminine side of our congregation. Men, and I'm going to talk to you for just a couple minutes, okay? Men, we pioneered this country. We went across the wagon trail and the plains. We walked on the moon. We stormed the beaches of Normandy. Men has it ingrained in them for adventure, for purpose, for danger. And you know what? Our churches oftentimes lack in ministry that appeals to the God-given manly nature that He's put inside of us. This is a ministry that scratches every one of those itches. And I'm thoroughly convinced that if I can get you, not just to send support or get canned goods together, but if I can get you on a disaster relief crew and take you in an area where it's chaos, and we come in with a sense of purpose and order, if I can put you on one of those trips, it will change your life. You will come back from that trip different than the way that you went, because it's something in it. You can ask Brother Kevin and anybody else that has been on those. There's something about coming in and being able to be literally the hands and the feet of Jesus in an area where people are in need. And the thought behind it is this, okay? In Galatians 6 and 10, the Apostle Paul writing, he says, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." So we come in and we work through the local church. We're not there necessarily as representatives of ourselves. When we come in from South Carolina, we're not representing South Carolina Free Will Baptist. We went to Kentucky and we were representing the local church in that area. We had people from Master's Men and people from South Carolina and other churches, but we're there building up and representing the ministry of Christ through the local church. And so when we're able to minister, we're ministering, and the local church, which ministers in that community, gets the credit so that people are likely to come back and be able to attend those churches or seek help. Also wanted to mention that disaster relief was a ministry of the first church. The early first century church, disaster relief was a ministry. And you look at it kind of funny, but let me explain it to you. If you remember in the book of Acts, there was a prophet by the name of Agabus. And Agabus stood up and he prophesied about a dearth. We don't use that word very often anymore, but a dearth that was to come across the whole land. And all the churches, what they did was they made preparation, they put funds together in anticipation of this disaster that was going to come and affect the entire world that they knew about at that time. They sent those funds to Jerusalem and they relied upon those who had systems and programs in place to minister to Christians and believers in the church during those days of disaster. And so since the early church, it has been an effective part of ministry to help people in times of struggle. But you think about it from this perspective. The people in your community, as long as they've got their habits, their hobbies, their health, as long as they've got those things, they really have a hard time seeing their need for Christ, their need for your prayers, their need for your church. They, as long as they've got things pretty well in order, they don't really need you in their mind. But every now and again, a disaster will come. God will pull the proverbial rug out from underneath them, and they will be in a situation where they have need. It's then and in those times that the church needs to shine. And so I want to say to you that disasters, and they come in all shapes, sizes, and forms, are great opportunities for the local church to step up and really reach people who then, in times of disaster, are much more willing to hear about Jesus, much more willing to see their need for Christ. Last thing I'll share with you was an experience that we had while we were down in Clarksville with Brother Allen during Hurricane Michael. He had the distribution center set up. Our guys were there. We were building showers. We had some on work orders and work calls, service calls. But we happened to walk into the distribution center they had set up inside the church. And what we saw was something that amazed us. There was a Muslim family inside this Christian church getting food, canned goods, diapers, hygiene supplies. And they were in there. And here's the thing. When is the last time your church has been able to minister in Jesus' name to someone of the Muslim faith in your own church? Probably never. And if it were not for a disaster that I'm convinced that God allowed and orchestrated it to be so, we wouldn't have even had that opportunity. And you got countless situations where we see that taking place. And so I want to encourage you, be involved, be willing to be the hands and feet of Christ in these situations. You talk to any of these men, they'll be able to point you in the right direction. Appreciate you so much. Brother Kim.
We do a lot of things. I love and appreciate these guys so much. When you surround yourself with good people, it makes you look really good, you know. And I figured that out a long time ago. These are great guys. I've got, like I said, I got some information up here. I got a sheet that I put together for something else, but just finishing up real quickly, we've got about 3 minutes before we need to quit. If you're in the area of a disaster, things you can do to help: supply food, showers, I already been mentioned, and we've got a car hauler trailer that we're going to try to get to South Carolina, and we've got money. We're going to put some showers in it and a couple of washers and dryers and a water tank. And the housing, if you've got a gymnasium or you've got Sunday school rooms that somebody can sleep in, a camper, yeah. We have slept in a lot of Sunday school rooms over the years, and not just Free Will Baptist, but, you know, whatever like that. These cleaning supplies, hygiene supplies, clothing. But let me say this. When you go, initially, people can use clothes. After the first week, there's clothes everywhere. When we went to Katrina, the front yard of the church was covered in clothes Then the rain came. They took a bulldozer, took them out the back, and buried them. And so keep that in mind. Money and gift cards are really good, because most time there's a Walmart, you know, 20 miles away or something that people can go to there. If you're out of the area, we need volunteers. These gift cards, again, Walmart, Kroger, you know, I mean, everybody doesn't have them, just, you know, Visa, MasterCard, whatever. Cards like that are good, that people can go get stuff, the hygiene kits, cleaning kits, and donations and whatever like that. But ending on this, I think Sam mentioned it. So many times we don't know because nobody will tell us. When a disaster hits, I immediately start making phone calls to state leaders, to pastors, to people saying, what do you know that's going on? And when we find out, then we'll coordinate and we'll go. But if we don't know, we don't go.